and only podcast made by a cow. And today I've got a special guest, and that guest is...
It's me.
Yes, it's you. It's Gabby Bell. Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. The cow is, you can see the cow, but the audience can't. So
yeah, I can.
You want to confirm that for...
Yeah, I can see the cow. She's here. She's recording it.
Yeah.
She's recording the podcast.
Exactly.
She's real.
Exactly. But yeah, how are you on this fine day, on this afternoon for me, morning for you?
Yes, I'm doing well. I'm glad to be here. This is my first podcast.
Yes,
and appearance.
You look, yeah, ever.
Yeah.
Huh.
Ever.
I feel honored. Well, I hope you enjoy the experience and it doesn't scar you from podcasts forever.
I will never do another podcast after this. Yeah. I'm done.
I just have to point out as well how jazzy your shirt is.
Thank you.
How do I describe the shirt to the audio listeners? It's kind of like... It's like a classic button up with a collar, but it's got like, it's cut into like tiles, and
it's fun. It's very fun. It has drawings on it. Let me see if I can get the back.
Oh, look at that. Dollars. We've got dollars. Sign. It's got like baby blue, like a nice royal pink. Blue, millennial pink, and then a more fuchsia pink. It's great.
It's very me.
I love it. No, and it goes well with your background because you've got a bit pink and blue going on.
Exactly.
So it's great. It's all
I saw it at the men's section.
Exactly. And we love that. We love that. Because clothing is not gendered.
Gendered clothing should not be gendered.
It really shouldn't.
I wholeheartedly agree.
I totally agree.
I cut it because it was a little big, but
fair. That's all right. I did that the other day with shirt. Because they are always too long for me, like t-shirts.
They are.
Yeah. Are you small?
Same. I am. Okay. I did a height reveal in my latest video.
Yes.
Comparing it to Gordon Ramsay.
Yes.
So it's a picture of me standing next to Gordon Ramsay, photoshopped, of course. I didn't actually meet him. And I'm 4'9", if you don't know.
Wow. So you're even smaller than Anna Marie Forsino.
How tall is she?
She's 4'11".
Oh,
and that's small.
She was a small one too.
Yeah, you are the smallest commentary YouTuber probably, apart from like children on commentary YouTube.
Yeah, we need superlatives for the commentary community.
That's awesome. I love that. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking, or is that a secret that you don't tell the audience?
No, I'm 24.
Okay, so you're done growing, pretty much. You're not gonna...
Yes, I am very much done growing. I've been done growing since fourth grade.
Fair. Yeah,
because well, I think my mom pulled out, like, I don't know, we were moving. This was like years ago. They were moving. Ooh. And they pulled out like all the old school records and stuff from public school. And they showed like when you go to the doctor and they measure you when you're growing up in like elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I grew from 4'7" to 4'9". And I was like 10. And I was like, oh, okay.
Is that
I remember going to the doctor actually, because they do checkups and you're like, you'll probably grow to this height when you're growing up. And they were like, you'll maybe grow to 5'1".
Yeah.
Maybe.
Wow.
And so that was very interesting. They actually proposed, sorry, this is like TMI, but I don't really care.
Oh, I love it.
They proposed this hormone therapy for me to grow taller. And it was really weird and sketchy, and I'm glad that I said no as like a 10-year-old. Mm. They're like, you can grow taller if we like manipulate your hormones and shit. And I was like, no. No, thank you. Because there's a bunch of weird side effects.
Yeah, you don't need to be taller. Like, it's nothing wrong with being small.
It's not like I was a detrimental small. Like, I was just a normal small.
That being said, are there some rides you can't go on?
Surprisingly, no.
Oh, good. Okay.
Surprisingly. Good. I'm like just tall enough.
Okay.
Like, I'll stand next to the thing and I'm like here.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's really
like about...
that was the only thing I was thinking. I was like, oh, wait, certain things.
Plus, I don't really like roller coasters anyway.
Oh, fair. Oh, and driving. Does it make driving a little bit annoying?
Yes, I have to get a car that fits my size. So I have an SUV that works for me, and I could see the top of the hood. Not every car works. Like Chevy Impala does not work for me. It is very long, and I am very small, and my feet don't touch the pedal.
Yeah,
some things like that. But like, once you cater your life to your height, it's not that bad.
Yeah, well, you know where you'd have a good time? Japan.
Because, yes, I did.
Yeah. Oh, so you've been.
I went 2 years ago, so not super recently. I went in like 2019, and it was a stopover. So we had a 24-hour stopover in Tokyo before we went to Thailand. So I was visiting my sister who lived there, which she is listening to this. Hello. Hi, Nina. Called out. So we were visiting her. Everyone was my size in Asia, and I felt very at home.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, I'm when I went to Japan, like I'm not super duper short. I'm quite small. I'm like 5'3", which is smaller than average, but it's not. If we compare it to like you and Anna, I think I'm kind
you're
of
not like whoa.
Yeah. I'm kind of like not sort of unique. Small. I'm just
normal sized. Standard sized.
Yeah, and I loved like everything being small there. Like the bath was small, but the thing is, my partner at the time, whom I went with, was quite tall. Not like super duper tall, but like 5'10". But for Japan, I guess
And that is just very much above average.
Yeah. And we were eating Pringles on the subway. I can't remember what the name of the subway is in Japan.
I forget what it's called too.
And he couldn't get his hand in the Pringles tube because the tubes are smaller there. And this old lady opposite us just started laughing.
Small. Pringles cans are already small in the West.
Yeah, and you know, it was great for me though, because my little hands got right down in those babies and I got them Pringles out.
Oh no.
And it was all good, but I did feel for him a bit, you know. So
my boyfriend is 6'3".
What?
So it was very rough when he tried to go into the bathroom. He was like, I can't, this is so small.
This is, you know, have you seen Tall Girl?
No, but I've seen the memes about it. I've seen
crate?
People watch it.
Yes. You know about the milk crate. So is that kind of the kind of thing you've got going where you have to stand on things?
Yeah, basically. I break my neck looking at them. It's it's funny. When we were walking around in Japan, we got looks.
Yeah,
more of like curiosity and how strange it was.
That's amazing. I mean, that's like a foot and a half of difference. I love that. Which, though, that's
they don't
great.
Use feet in the UK, right? You guys don't use feet, do you?
Yeah,
height,
we do.
Specifically?
Yeah.
Okay, I knew it was something like that.
Yeah. No,
it's
no,
like
no,
you
no,
guys will use Celsius and everything except for height.
Yeah. No, we love feet because it's the whole like on dating apps, if you're a guy and you're 6 foot and over, it's like a lot of girls are like, I won't go below 6 foot, which is just like, it's so arbitrary. It's like it 5 foot 11, 6 foot, like what's the
difference?
Yeah, and especially when it's girls who are like our height being like, I have to date someone who's 6 foot. It's like, girl, you're 5'2", shut the fuck up. Like, I don't know, it's just funny. But I mean, I will say though, I do enjoy being the little spoon, regardless of gender of the person I'm with. I do like being the smaller one. Maybe it's because we're used to it.
Yeah, I don't know, I feel safe.
Yeah, I like being the little spoon, the baby spoon, and
yes,
I don't know, I know what you mean. So yeah, but
I do have a step stool in my kitchen.
Ooh. Oh,
that I do have.
I love that.
Even with the step stool, I can't reach some things on like the very, very top. So I have to force Drew to come out there and reach things for me.
Oh, gosh. Wow. Well, get by with a little help from my friends. Am I right?
There
or
we
am
go.
I right?
Yes. Yes.
Exactly. But before we get right into the thick of it, do you want to just tell the people, in case they're not familiar with your work, about yourself, what you do, what your channel's about, blah, blah, blah. Just share.
I'm Gabby Bell. I make commentary YouTube videos, whether it be funny or not so funny, whether it be on a serious topic or just something hilarious that I found. I've been wanting to pivot more to the funny side because that's what I'm good at, I think. It kind of drains me to post.
You are funny. All these you are funny.
Topics. Thank you. I try. Yeah. And that's, yep. I do music as well. I'm Gabby Bell on Spotify.
Mm.
And my patrons get a special song from me at the end of my videos. So I think that's kind of one of my quirks, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's a lovely treat. So if you were to recommend your music to people, what would you say in terms of, if you like this artist, you might like my tunes. Who, insert artist, what would that be?
If you like lo-fi,
bedroom
pop.
Oh yeah, I like bedroom pop and lo-fi.
Yes, and Japanese city pop. That's what I'm at. That's what I'm doing.
That sounds incredibly cool.
But that's what I do.
Yeah, that is very cool.
So I don't know any specific artists that are kind of doing that.
No, that genres is good too. Genres is, yeah, I love me some bedroom pop.
Yes, it's where it's at.
So good. And for people that aren't aware, I was only made aware of this recently because I'm not like super knowledgeable about music. Bedroom pop, I guess, describes, it's a kind of indie that is often self-produced or start self-produced. Yes. Like a lot of artists that are described as bedroom pop, like Clara and stuff, aren't self-produced anymore, I suppose. They're bigger now, but like that's kind of
the feel they go for.
Yeah, it's the feel, and it's kind of so big fan.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like pop but self-produced. I was trying to find a better way to describe it, but yeah, that's just about it.
Indie pop, and they often express their feelings, you know what I mean?
Yes.
That kind of thing, which, yeah.
Oh, I loved how you mentioned friendship in your
metanormativity.
I tried to read the title like 7 times and I was like, Tara,
don't
I can't
worry. It's okay. I struggled during it, so thank you. Yes,
because people don't talk about friendships enough in like music and like it's just not a thing, and I'm like, come on, like a friend breakup, it can be just as bad,
if not worse. Yeah, I'm guessing
one talks about it, no one sings about it.
Exactly. Like, I mean, you don't have to go into details, but have you experienced a friendship breakup?
Yes, many times. And I actually have written many songs about this, which is why I felt seen when you said it in your video. But like, I have one called Fall Apart, where it's like, every time I meet my people, this sounds so dramatic. every time I meet my people, we end up falling apart. I see their true colors. You know, they don't stand by me when I'm at my worst. So it's got those people that say, I'll be there for you no matter what, except for when it's not convenient for me.
Yeah.
Or except for when your depression is a inconvenience in my life.
It's not cute and quirky, it's actually real.
Yeah, exactly. And then you're just kind of left there and you're like, okay, what a friend you are. Thanks.
Cheers.
So that's kind of, honestly, friendship stuff is like one of the main themes in my music, so I'm very passionate about that. Literally most of my songs are about that, actually. Now that I'm looking at,
it's so true. Like, I think this is something, and this is something that in my life I want to focus more on, is like really cultivating and making time. Like at this point in my life, my priority are my friendships in terms of what relationships I have. Just because, yeah, those are the people that have like, you know, stuck by me and like just bring the most joy, you know? And it's just, when friends are there and you've got good ones, they're kind of like what make life worth living.
No, it's true.
But it's true, you know?
Because I've been the person who's like maybe taken for granted those people. And then I'm like, now in my friendships and relationships, I like tell them every day, I'm like, I love you. Thanks for being my friend.
Exactly. In fact, I in my calendar currently, I've got not one, not two, but three big gay nights out in my calendar.
I love that.
With my friends. We've all got gay nights planned out. We're like, right, let's go out, be gay and do crime.
And do gay crime specifically. Yeah,
exactly. Like the, you know, I don't know if people are aware of the possum memes and the raccoon memes. They've kind of become a bit of a thing. They've kind of become a bit of a thing amongst the gays and the memes. It's a thing. I'll probably explain it in another podcast episode.
God, I'm excited for that.
Yeah. So, but exactly. No, I appreciate you pointing that out because I think it is something that takes... it can often take a back seat.
Yes.
Which is a bummer.
Underrated.
Or it's betrayed. If you are someone who prioritizes your friendships, it's betrayed as like a lack of maturity.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? I don't know if you noticed that trope in media. Like, it's a big thing. And I'd say something like shows like Broad City or any buddy comedies, the people around them are like, why are you so obsessed with your friend? And it's like, the way they behave is like a couple, like a romantic couple, but for some reason it's weird when you're like that with a friend. You know
that's
what I mean?
That's very true. Yeah, it's not like how you see it in like movies and everything, as much as we want it to be.
Yeah, exactly. Friendship is important. We love friendship. Go friends.
Yay, friends. Shout out to friends.
So you recently you've put lots of videos out recently. You're posting pretty regularly, actually. How long have you been on YouTube?
That's a great question, because I've been on YouTube for a while. However, I've only been doing commentary for about a year.
Okay.
So before that, I was a Premiere Pro tutorial girl.
Ooh.
Because that's what I like... did for people as freelance.
Yeah.
And then I realized I hate making tutorials.
Oh my God. You know what's so funny? When I first started YouTube in like early 2020, my first few videos were photography tutorials, because photography was my job before YouTube. And I love photography, but doesn't mean I want my YouTube videos to be about photography.
Yes. Did you hate like making the tutorials?
Yeah. I found it boring, and like you couldn't make jokes, or like you couldn't make that good jokes. And I mean, don't get me wrong, there are great photography channels on YouTube, but like I think that's another thing. It's like quite a saturated thing that once you've got a few good photography, videography people on YouTube, it feels like, what am I adding here? Whereas with commentary, it's like
there's already like the go to.
Right. Commentary, so like, though,
what am I
everyone's
add?
Different. Everyone's got a different opinion. Everyone's got a different take. Like, there's never too many, in my opinion, for commentary. I honestly think it's limitless.
Yes. People have told me that there are too many already, so why should you do it? And I'm like, fuck you.
What commentary?
I'm doing it. Yeah.
Really?
But like, there's a million commentary channels out there. Like, you're not gonna grow doing that. Like, do something else. Like, you have a musical talent, do something like that. And I'm like, no.
You can do both. And also
that too.
This is the thing that is whoever said that to them, no disrespect, but they are wrong.
Yes.
You know, a few years ago, Tiffany Ferg came out with a video, and it was something along the lines of commentary YouTube isn't just funny white guys. And like, she goes through the scope of commentary YouTube. And to be honest, even that will be like out of date now, because since then, the pandemic and like how much commentary YouTube has changed. Think of like all the kind of content you get. You get like fashion historians from like Mina Lay to music comedy-ish kind of like you, Mooncat, Mr. Beard, political people, and you know, I don't know where I would put myself, but somewhere like video essay people, and you know, there's so much.
There's so many different topics.
So for like even say, from
exactly like even from me to like Salem. I'm butchering your name.
Yeah, I know who you mean.
You know who I'm talking about. For the listeners, Salem Tovar. I'm so sorry.
Is Tovar?
Tovar. I don't know where I got that from. Even from me to her, like, it is so different in terms of, like, both being women.
Mm.
It's, like, I just think, like, there's so much variety in commentary YouTube that you can't just, like, okay, here are all the women commentary YouTubers. Like, we don't know. Here are all the white guy ones. Here are all the political. Even between communities, they're so different.
Well, exactly. Like, I mean, I don't necessarily describe myself this way, but I sometimes get described as left tube. And who else also gets described as left tube? H Bomber Guy and ContraPoints, who make like 2-hour videos. And we're just not, like, you know what I mean? It's like mine are a lot more sort of in your bedroom.
Chatting, you know, about stuff.
Yeah. Whereas theirs are like full-on production
feature,
like,
films.
They are like fucking major scale projects. So it's like, yeah, it's just, I think that's a very silly and short-sighted kind of way of looking at it. And I think commentary YouTube as a genre is going to have the most longevity because people are always going to want to hear people's opinions. People are always going to want to watch video essays. They're always going to want to watch film analysis. And that's another side of commentary YouTube, like film media analysis.
Yes, there's a whole side of just like movies and TV shows.
Exactly. Video games.
And that's all they do. And yes, there's literally Thomas Game Docs. Like, we'll do video essays on just video games. It's like, you can't just throw all of commentary into, like, it's oversaturated, don't bother.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much different stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and I thought about that too, because there's like, vlogging was huge, like, 5 years ago, right?
Yes.
And I want to say that it's died out, but it obviously hasn't. But I like wondered in my own little world while I was folding laundry, like, is commentary YouTube gonna be like just another niche that is gonna kind of die out and fizzle out and there's gonna be the next big thing? Or is commentary YouTube gonna outlive vlogging?
No, it definitely does. And I think there's two things there. There's one in that I think vlogs may not be the main thing. How do I describe it? A lot of people still watch vlogs, even though it feels like they've died out and they're not like
exactly
the best content on the platform. And that's not to shit on vlogs. Like, there are some good vloggers there, right? Even if I'm not interested in watching vlogs because I don't have the attention span. But I just personally don't find them that, they're not my thing.
Exactly. But,
you know, at the end of the day, some of the biggest channels are vlog channels, so someone's watching them, perhaps, you know. And same goes with commentary YouTube. Even if the commentary renaissance dies down, and you know, I just don't see it as the same thing though, because like I said, like, it's so much more vast. And like, so many different types of content come under commentary that I don't think you can even say that I don't think it's possible for it to die out.
Yeah.
Even
exactly,
if you want it to.
I feel like vlogging is so hard because you have to feel like you already care about the person in order to feel like watching their video, their vlog. Because it's like, you're like, who cares?
Like,
that sounds really mean, but
no, I agree. And this is something I found interesting. Like, there's this meme that's like, how I sleep at night knowing that I have never given any money to Shane Dawson. And not gonna lie, I do have this kind of like little bit of smugness that I'm like, I never actually watched that guy.
Same.
And the reason being is because before, am I right in thinking that before the documentaries, he did like vloggy classic YouTube videos?
I think so. I remember people would show me his videos in like middle school and I never really found them funny. I don't know why. just
because they were racist.
I'm saying, like, as a 9-year-old, I'm not analyzing comedy and like,
no,
what
true,
makes
you don't have
funny
that. Yeah,
so I'm just like, I am not laughing at this.
Yeah.
I wasn't even like offended.
No,
that
no,
sounds terrible, but I'm 9, like, I don't get it, but
yeah, you're not, you don't have that.
I like didn't understand why I didn't find it funny. I just thought it was like maybe cheap humor.
Yeah, boyfriend wears a fat suit for a day.
Yeah, like, okay.
$1,000 mystery box. I cloned myself and it's Trisha Paytas. And like he went through a phase of making like conspiracy videos.
Oh, right, yeah.
He apparently contributed to the whole 9/11 conspiracies, which is awesome. That's great.
Oh god, I wish I didn't know that.
I just don't get it. Like, I just when people like that, when people I never got the appeal of Jeffree Star either. I just
me neither.
Maybe I don't know. Like, and it's not even, I know some people are going to be like, oh, not liking popular things doesn't make you cool. And I'm like, I don't understand
it's
why
not
they're
that,
popular.
I promise. Yeah.
Like, Jenna Marbles, totally get why she was popular. Is popular.
Yeah.
She still is. She's still beloved. Because she's funny. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
her dogs are
people
cute.
Still miss her.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Or there's other big YouTubers that were really popular, weren't my thing, but I could see the appeal.
Yeah.
Like Emma Chamberlain, for example. Don't really
yes.
like vlogs, so never watched her stuff. But cracking
but
personality, seems like a cool person.
Yeah,
totally get
funny, cool.
Shane Dawson,
yeah,
Jeffree
exactly.
Star. What? Where's the appeal?
Why?
Never
Why?
Got it. Never got it.
I never understood it either.
Mm. It's.
I think.
Yeah.
There was a period where I didn't watch YouTube as much. I think because there was just it was vlogs only. You know what? Same with David Dobrik. I'm sorry. When
yeah.
I remember when he was super big, people were showing me his videos in like high school, and I was like, sorry, I don't get it.
He's not funny.
Not to be like contrarian or
no.
to like a popular thing, but like I genuinely didn't get it.
It's that kind of content where it's like, oh, my rich friends and I just fuck around.
Yeah.
And that's entertaining. And it's like, to me, that I don't know. I just don't get it.
It isn't appealing to me. Dude, my friends were like literally sad when Liza Koshy and David Dobrik broke up. And they were like, I cried. You have to watch the whole video. And I watched it with them and I was like, okay. Can I go now?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, speaking of, both you and I made a video about breakup videos on YouTube.
Yes,
specifically the couple OK Baby. And just to catch people up who aren't familiar with the situation, there's a big family vlogging channel called OK Baby. Man and woman, mid-20s, I believe.
Yes.
And they
so.
Have 4 kids? 5?
That is what people in my comments have told me. So
they have a lot
that
of
as
kids
will.
By that age. I think their first was 19 or 20 or whatever. They've had a lot of kids and they've broken up.
Wow.
And they did this long ass breakup video. And she didn't, in general, the audience reception was they did not like how the wife or girlfriend came off. I don't know if they're ever actually married or if they're just boyfriend and
girlfriend.
I think
they are.
Okay.
So it's weird that they phrased it breakup when they're
divorced.
Getting divorced.
Yeah. So. Dividing assets.
Yes.
And it's the same with like, I don't know, it's just breakup videos. What kind of world are we living in that they're a thing? What are your thoughts? Tell me your thoughts, please.
It's weird because the video after that video of that sentence made no sense. The video I posted after the video I made about the breakup was the video about YouTuber apologies. And a common theme in both of those videos were public relationships. And I felt in one way, okay, Sabrina, Gus's ex-girlfriend, whom he abused, has the right to share her story and make that part of their relationship public. That is a fact. That is what happened. I'm not saying it's wrong because it wasn't. I think it's good that she did that. But that is what happened. And then on the other hand, we have the okay baby couple who both consented to making that part of their relationship public. They were both ugly parts of the relationship in which were shared. And one reception was, I would say, mostly positive for Sabrina, as she deserves. And the other one was mostly, hey, this is weird and cringy, and I don't like this, for the okay baby breakup. So I just found that really interesting in, like, should relationships be public? Should they not be? They have the right to share it. Sometimes it makes people uncomfortable. Sometimes it's good to share, like, because people can relate, or I don't know. I feel like sometimes it's important for people to see the bad sides because they can relate, and relate is the best word that I can come up with, if that makes sense. So I just found that a really interesting dichotomy.
Do you want to hear my thoughts on why that might be?
Yes, of course.
So I've got a couple of theories. One being that in the case of OK Baby, there are children involved. That's the biggest one. And that was my issue with it, is that your kids are going to see this. Your kids are in the background. This can't be good for them. I mean, I don't think little kids should be on YouTube anyway. They are, I think they should have the same labor laws as child actors, because at the moment they don't, and they're just being exploited.
Oh, it's so weird.
It is very weird. Second, these people share like every detail of their life. So I think for people, it's kind of like, why do you share everything? People find it weird. Whereas like someone sharing like an abuse story who doesn't otherwise make content about their relationship that much, I think there was something about it that was like,
whoa,
oh, we need to know this. Like, it was kind of like breaking the news.
Yeah.
And the third and final thing is that in the case of the OK Baby couple, I keep wanting to say OK Cupid, it's OK Baby. It felt a bit like, why are you telling us this? We don't want to know. And like exploiting their breakup for content and for ads. Mm. Whereas like, if someone is a victim of abuse shares their story, that helps people.
Yes, it does.
You know, and secondly, even if that was like the main focus, that's good in my opinion. But I think also in this particular situation with regards to Sabrina, it wasn't even the main purpose of the video. The main purpose, I suppose, was to talk about, and for those who need the context, Sabrina's video was mainly about the fact that she not only had suffered abuse in a relationship, but abuse from the healthcare system, and had an ectopic pregnancy. And it led to the point where it nearly killed her and has damaged her body. And the sort of moral of the story there is, our healthcare system needs to take women's pain more seriously. It's garbage.
It is so garbage.
And so, you know, and I think that was the thing, and that made it feel, and it is very authentic. It didn't feel like, let's talk about this relationship.
No, she
drama.
Didn't name Gus at all.
Did not.
She didn't.
That's the thing. Another thing as well. It's like when you've got two people just bickering on camera, it's like, you just feel like you shouldn't be looking. You're like, you know what I mean? Whereas, like, if someone comes to you really vulnerable and lets you in and puts their heart on their sleeve, it feels more like, oh, wow, you're really opening up to me as an audience member.
Yes, and this is important for us to hear. And, you know, you don't do this often. You're not capitalizing off of it, which is funny because Sabrina's video opening up about that was sponsored at the end of it. Because she needs money, you know? But
Some people took issue with that.
Yes. They were like, you're just capitalizing off of this. You just want to cancel them, blah, blah, blah. And she made a pinned comment underneath because she saw the backlash, of course. Mm-hmm. And she was like, guys, I just got evicted from my apartment. Like, I literally
breakups are expensive. Do people not know this? Like, when you live with someone, breakups are fucking expensive.
It's very expensive. It's very hard in every single way possible. Like, I don't think her sponsoring the video takes away from everything else that she just said. Like, people are just so like diehard on one side that they just don't want to hear anything negative about their favorite creator. I like get how that can be difficult at first, but I feel like it's another mental level to go and like comment and harass the person. I don't know.
Audiences get weird about sponsorships regardless though. They get very touchy about it, and I think that's something I just wish, I mean, I'm lucky in that my audience are lovely about it, but I do see sometimes some other creators get flack from their audiences about sponsorships, and I just sort of wish people knew that, you know, I mean, sometimes you do get creators taking the piss a bit, you know, like with Jake Paul and the gambling shit, you know, stuff like that.
Reasonably.
Yeah, but for the most part, YouTubers take sponsorships because AdSense is unreliable. You know, it's different on every video. It's weird and inconsistent. There are videos that can get more views but earn you way less money. It's very confusing and weird. No one really knows how it works and what it means. So it's just regular income. And when you've got to pay rent, you know, that's how it is.
You
got to do what you got to do. So...
That's, for me, when I see a sponsorship, I'm like, on someone else's video, I'm like, yeah,
exactly.
You get that money. Like,
exactly.
Good for you.
Hello, welcome back. We just had a very strange technical glitch where, Gabby, you're in the middle of speaking. Can't even remember what it was about now. And Zoom just yeeted out of here. It was just like, I've had enough. And it just shut down.
It died. Tara took a big drink of water and it just froze like this. And I thought she was just taking a really big sip of water, so I just kept talking. But I think we were talking about sponsorships and ads. I was saying how in a 22-minute show, there's 8 minutes of ads. And when a YouTuber has a 20-minute video, they'll take like a 1-minute brand deal. And I feel like we should not be complaining about that.
So this is another thing as well. In the US, it's also a lot more. So something that's like a fun little quirk here is that if you watch a show in the UK that's from the US, you know how when there would be an ad break on a streaming service, it goes to black, but then it just carries on.
Yeah.
Here in the UK, like we have like a bit of a joke about it when we watch a TV show and they're like, oh my God, the Americans, they have so many ads. but yeah, exactly. So if you're an American audience member, you're probably very used to it.
We don't like it, but we're used to it.
Yeah, exactly. You're being sold shit all the time. I mean, we are in the UK as well, but just in a different way.
Yes.
Yeah, because we have the BBC, which is like government funded, so there's no ads allowed at all. So if you're watching something on the BBC, no ads. But it's the BBC and they're really transphobic, so, you know.
So maybe we don't want to watch the BBC.
Yeah, no, we don't. Fuck them. Fuck the BBC. Fuck the BBC. Fuck you guys. I'll say that on record. But yeah, I think also we briefly touched upon your video about YouTube apologies. And I would love to hear your thoughts because that is something that I think we all fear as a creator that we might have to do one day. And
really, so you have that fear as well?
Of course. I mean, I don't know what for. I don't have anything on the top of my head that I'm like, oh, I killed a guy that someone might find out. Like, I don't have that. But I don't know. Of course. And I think my question to you is, do you think there's such thing as a good apology? Because in my experience, I don't know if I've ever seen an apology that has been taken well by the majority, but maybe that's just me being
yes
cynical.
No, I think you're right, and I think I have an answer.
Go on.
And I think it's because we don't see the good apologies because they don't blow up because they were good, so it's like it kind of just brushes under the rug because people are like, all right, I like this, and then move on. And then we don't hear about it.
As in it keeps contained to their audience and their audience forgive them and it doesn't spread. Interesting. Okay.
Rage fuels the internet. So we only hear about bad apologies because they're so outrageous.
Mm.
So I can, may I present please. Examples? Well, I'll just talk yes. about them.
Yeah, please.
People may not know. I think a lot of people don't know. So I'm going to bring these up again, but Drew Gooden has an apology video. Did you know this?
No.
It's very interesting, actually. I found it. And he apologized for a tweet that he made in 2016, but he apologized for it like semi-recently. And I guess he said it in his apology video. I'm not like digging up dirt on him. This is like literally what he said in the video. So his tweet was him making a like cheap joke at the expense of like Asian women. And his apology video, he didn't post on his YouTube channel. I think he posted it on Twitter only. And I understand why he did that. I think it makes sense.
You post the apology where the mistake was made, I suppose?
Or
do you think it should have been put on YouTube as well?
I don't know, because on YouTube, I think the reach is far wider because that's where all of your audience is.
Yeah.
I think on Twitter, I guess it made sense because that's where the mistake was made, and maybe that's where he was getting angry fans. But personally, I didn't have a problem with that. I just thought it was very interesting because a lot of people don't know about it, because I think the apology was good. And in his apology video, he was just like, hey guys, here's the shitty tweet I made. He literally put it on the screen. He's like, this is what I said. It was stupid. It was wrong. Back in 2016, I was into like edgy humor, and it was just a dumb, stupid joke. I'm sorry. And then he was like, I know this won't make up for the things that I did, but I'm donating a shit ton of money to Asian charities. And that's it. It was like literally a minute long, and all the reception in the comments were really good because someone reposted it up onto YouTube, because that's what people do. And yeah, as an Asian woman, I was like, yeah, this checks out. Like, I don't know, like, I believe it. And then I thought to myself, like, why do I like this apology and not like other ones? What makes this one good? And maybe it was because I think he's shown in his videos in general that he's obviously not racist.
My follow-up question to that would be, it's really interesting you say that, because it is something that was something that directly affected you. And obviously you aren't, you don't know every one of his audience, but did you feel amongst your friends who are also Asian American women who knew about that situation? Maybe they didn't, but like, did you feel like they agreed with you on that? Or did you feel like there was like a disparity? Like, what did you feel like the consensus was, out of curiosity? If your friends even watch YouTube.
I saw a lot of, no, IRL, no, because I don't really have other, I wish I did. I don't really have other Asian women friends in real life. But online, I saw a lot of, as an Asian, I accept this apology. I saw a lot of that in the comments. I think maybe it was because of how straight up he was. And he was like not beating around the bush. I mean, like, listen, guys, I was a freaking stupid idiot. This is dumb and racist. And I'm sorry. So,
well, that's interesting. And I think, I mean, it's, yeah,
I hope that wasn't too out of pocket.
No, not at all. And it's what you said at the beginning. Did you know about this? I didn't. And I guess that's part of that, as you say, is because it was received well.
Yeah.
And that's interesting, I think, because
right, like, I genuinely don't like. To me, it is so obvious that he's not racist. Like, I
was surprised when you told me that that was the situation, because I mean, again, like, I don't know if the apology sufficed, can't say, but yeah, I was very surprised when you said that, because there's no indication in his work that he
actually
feels like that about people.
All three of our favorite funny white guys had something like that.
Actually, really?
I'm just exposing all of this in a loving way. I think we need to talk about it,
because you feel like they handled it well.
I do think they handled it well.
Wait,
I think
when
it's,
you say
very
funny white guys, you mean Drew, Danny, Curtis,
and Curtis. Yes.
Okay, go on.
Actually, so Curtis, in a tweet also when he was like a young teenager, said the F word against gay people in a tweet, and somebody dug it up, and this was a while ago. I don't know if I'm getting all the details correctly. I think he replied and apologized, and I think he actually kind of clapped back at someone digging up his past, saying something like that.
The importance of deleting old tweets, though, gotta say.
Well, just considering it's so obvious that Curtis is pro gay rights and trans rights. It is so obvious in his videos. So it's like digging up a tweet like that from like 2012 felt like you're doing it on purpose to try to cancel him. Like, right. Yes, it was a wrong thing for him to say in a tweet. At the same time, I just think it's just such a weird dichotomy of, yes, it's wrong. Are there more important things we need to look at when considering this?
And also, we got to look at ourselves, because I think if I were to give Curtis a hard time for that, I don't know how old he was when he made that, but if it was from when he was a teenager.
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, as someone who is a queer, I don't know what exact phrases, but I'm sure I said and did homophobic things. Little did I know the homo inside
exactly
of me,
and I did but... That's why I'm like, am I gonna sit here and throw stones from a glass of, what's the phrase,
glass houses,
throw stones from a glass house.
Yeah,
because well, it's like I growing up, like, you have to look at how these people grew up. Like, I don't want to come off like a sympathizer with these people. Children aren't just like homophobic and racist out of nowhere.
No.
You have to look at how these people grew up, what environment they grew up in. Like, I've seen people being like, you're 16, 17, you should know better. You should know better. And it's like, in a way, yes. In another way, can you imagine growing up in a homophobic family? All your extended family is homophobic. You're and religious in that way that perpetuates homophobia. Mm-hmm. You grew up in a very rural, isolated place in like Kentucky, and you're surrounded by only white people who are Christian, racist. I'm sorry, Christians. the type of Christians that
I know you mean,
perpetuate
like
homophobia and are right and are very against it. At 16 years old, I'm sorry to say, you don't know better. You'd think you do, but you don't.
Your brain doesn't stop developing until you're 25 odd.
That too. I just think we need to, people want to look at it very black and white. I think we need to look at where these people are coming from. Not like sympathizing with it and saying, oh, this is right. But like, you're racist because you're stupid and you're racist. And it's like, okay, I think this is a bigger societal problem. Like, I don't just think it's this one person that is racist.
No, and it's allowing people to grow and get, yeah. I mean, it's tricky when I always find this hard to navigate, because it's like, if it's concerning something that doesn't affect me personally, I can't comment on it because it's not up to me to forgive. But when, for example, if I see someone who's made like misogynistic jokes in the past, homophobic jokes in the past, you know, things that do affect me, right? I do think, okay, what do you have to show for yourself now? What does your track record look like for the past few years, like you said? And what are you doing right now? And if that person is being a good ally, that says to me that they've grown and learned. And I can't remember who it was, but someone made a really good tweet, and it was like, if you don't cringe at yourself from 5 years ago, you haven't grown. And I think that's a really good point. Like, I even at age 20, like, I look at my politics back then and I think, oof, nah, I didn't.
Same. Oh my gosh, I was watching your Grazing Hell episode with Ethan Is Online.
Yes.
And what he was saying about, it was such a good episode. What he was saying about, like, he used to be stuck in that, like, Jordan Peterson pipeline.
We all have an edgelord
phase. Like, alt-right stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. That's the phase that I went through. And I feel so embarrassed
about
it.
Oh, of course.
Because I look back now and I'm like, that's what I am mostly, like, ashamed of. And I think somebody eventually is going to, like, dig that up and be like, look at her. She... And I'm like... I'm not like that anymore, I promise.
We all, yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm just so, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed.
No, me too. Like, you know, it's exactly. Terrible. Like, I had my edgy atheist phase and it was very cringy and obnoxious. Yeah. But luckily, I wasn't on the internet at the time. And this is another thing we've got to bear in mind is that Gen Z are on the right. internet much more than, you know, I'm a younger millennial, right? So we just got to understand that it's like, I was saying just as stupid shit as you are right now, but I happen to not have it logged on. And that's just an advantage, right?
Yes.
So you got to, exactly. There's so much to take into account. And I agree. I think giving people
yeah
space to be better. To obviously grow. There are limits to that. With certain things.
Right. Right.
But you know,
I completely agree. Someone, that's why everything is gray.
It really is. And it's also, everyone will have different boundaries. Like some people, you know, I might forgive certain misogynistic jokes or whatever that other women can't forgive. And that's valid. That doesn't mean they're wrong.
Right. And same with me. Exactly. That's right. Why I feel like this is my own like niche opinion almost, because I've been on both sides of it, where I have been the edgelord. And I've been on the receiving end of racism and edginess. And I'm just like, okay, I get it. Like, there are a lot of teens, specifically mostly teen boys, that go through this phase and then hopefully are embarrassed by it when they grow up.
There's some things about my past that I look back and I think, oh, wow, yikes, 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 yikes. And
yikes,
I think,
super yikes, indeed.
Super yikes,
I just feel like a lot more people go through stuff like that that they don't want to admit because they want to sit on this moral high horse and be like, look, that person did bad thing. I'm not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, dude, you cannot tell me that you weren't like 15 and you said something really dumb and hurtful.
Mm.
Like, you can't tell me you didn't do that. Like, we're all not perfect.
Exactly.
We all did something racist, homophobic, mean, bad, betrayed your friend, did something you regret. Like, you can't just,
and not to offset responsibility, but I think another big factor is you talk about people making jokes in a certain year. A lot of that time the year is 2016, and it's, if you talk about YouTube,
it is. Isn't that
in 2016 and what the fucking landscape of YouTube was like back then, it was a hellscape. And the most popular content was like anti-feminist kind of,
yes, it,
you know,
was, dude.
Being left wing on YouTube was radical back then. Hella radical.
I used to be like, oh, look at those SJWs. It was like, oh,
blue haired
so
feminist.
Oh my God. I like look back on that and I like puke a little bit. How
course.
I used to think about these things.
And we all go through those phases, you know. I went through the phase where I was like, I'm a rational, calm feminist. I'm not like those other feminists, y'all.
Oh no, yes, I used to go through like, I'm not like other girls.
Oh yeah,
I liked video
same
games.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, and now I'm like, oh shit, another girl who plays video games, let's go. Like,
yeah,
it makes me happy.
Exactly. So now that we've talked about good apologies, or at least perceived apologies that was perceived well, I feel like it's only fitting that we talk about bad apologies. So in your video, you focused on two particular apologies, both about very serious issues, but one of the apologies, and I hate to say this because the person accused was accused of something very horrible, it was assault, so it's not a funny topic, but their apology was fucking hilarious. And I just,
yes, exactly,
it was comically bad. And do you want to, and I think you know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Sienna Mae. Tell me about situation. Tell us.
So if the listeners are unaware, Sienna Mae is a body positivity TikToker who had a friend named Jack Wright. And I think they're both like 17, 18 or something, 18, 19, something like that. And this happened over the course of many months or a year, I can't remember exactly, but Sienna Mae would repeatedly sexually assault him after he kept saying no many, 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 many times, to the point where she had sexually assaulted him. There is video proof of this.
Yes. As if,
you know, we shouldn't need proof, but like, there's video proof of her sexually assaulting Jack while he was, I think, drunk, semi-unconscious.
She didn't look very conscious and in it. Yeah, I'm just going to say allegedly no, so I don't get sued,
either
but...
asleep.
You know.
Yes, allegedly. You want to know her apology for it? It wasn't even an apology. It was a dance video of her dancing to a song called Young by Sam Smith. And it was like an interpretive dance video. And she's just...
And that's what I mean when I say her apology was funny. Obviously, the situation is right. terribly
the
sad.
Apology
and
was,
my heart goes
was
up for Jack.
Hilarious.
Yeah, but just the apology, you know, when it's just so bad, all you can do is laugh. It's just fucking like, what the fuck are you
it's
doing?
It's absurd. And it's so funny because the lyrics to the song are so funny. Because the song's about being young and making mistakes while you're young. Perhaps some of the things I was talking about earlier. It was just like being stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Assaulting someone, she used this song to say, get a little wild, get a little high, kiss 100 boys. If you want to judge me, go and load the gun. I've done nothing wrong. I'm young.
And didn't she start the video being like, I'm so grateful that God has given me this platform and all this shit. And it was just like the most...
Yes.
I don't know how to describe it. Just very...
Just tone deaf, perhaps?
Self-flagellating shit ever. Like, imagine
yes.
if, like... I'm sorry, as a YouTuber, to be like, God has given me this platform. It's like, no.
Holy, how self-righteous can you get?
No.
God has given me this platform.
You got lucky. We all got lucky. That's it.
She's like, if I can inspire one person, then I've done what I was put on this earth to do. Verbatim.
Also, like, this had to have got through so many people. You made this point in your video. It's like, she has a team, right? She has a manager. She has like friends. She has the people that film the video.
And they all were like, yep, this looks good. You should post it. People will love it. Holy crap. Terrible apology, which made backlash worse and did not fly under the radar. Ooh, boy.
Because I feel like if it weren't for that, we would have no idea who this person is because she's a TikToker and we're not the target demographic.
I didn't have any idea.
Right. And that's the point you were making earlier, is that these terrible apologies, you know, an apology is bad when someone who's never heard of you comes across it.
Exactly. That's, oof, man.
I was just thinking, remember another historically bad apology? Logan Paul's apology when he filmed someone, a victim of suicide in the suicide forest in Japan. And it's another comically bad apology for an absolutely heinous offense. But he was fine after. He was fine in that YouTube removed his, YouTube did remove his monetization for a bit, but because of that guy, it changed the landscape of YouTube and ads for everyone else.
It caused
the apocalypse too, I think, the second one.
Oh my gosh. I think
Logan Paul to thank for that.
Adpocalypse.
Yeah.
Thanks, Logan.
So this shit, you know. Yeah.
You can, as much as I, maybe people don't want to hear it, unfortunately, I don't know. You can always come back from something like that, apparently. Because now
even
a bunch of people
you
like.
You shouldn't.
Right.
I mean,
a bunch of people like Logan Paul now.
Right, and Shane Dawson, like, I know people roast him, but, like, he's getting a lot of views.
I know, right? I've, like, checked in on his channel, and I'm like, how are you still getting millions upon millions of views still?
You just have dedicated enough fans. Yeah, it's amazing, really.
He either has his comment section filtered out, or he's getting a lot of positive...
Yeah.
Like, his latest video has 3.4 million views.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Amazing. Really, just... So basically, you could probably kill a guy and get away with it if you're Shane Dawson.
Yeah, oh, apparently. Like, wow.
Should we test this out, Gabby? Should we both, like, kill someone and see?
Yeah, let's try it and see how long it takes to
who's more get cancelable for it. Yeah, who's got the more dedicated audience?
Oh, no. Well, I think just over the years, Logan Paul's just made this redemption arc for himself. Mm. I don't know how. I don't know why.
I think it's because the bar was so fucking low that, like, when Jake and Logan Paul act like human beings, people are like, oh my God, they're actually not that bad. And it's like, no, they're just acting like human beings. They're just not acting like total pieces of shit. They're not good people, and they won't be. They're just not acting like completely heinous monsters right now. So your perspective is warped.
I think he's gone through some change in, like, branding and just the way he brands himself now, especially with Impulsive, his podcast. I don't know. And, like, the Pokemon card stuff. Like, people actually like him now, and it's weird to see. So, I don't know if that means that he's reflected on his actions or feels bad about it. Like, we will never know. So, nah.
Yeah. Maybe I'm cynical, but I reckon.
I always have hope in people.
Yeah. I try to.
But I'm like, I would hope someone would give me the benefit of the doubt, so I try to give it out where I can.
Exactly. So, you know, let's end this on a high, I think.
Yeah,
because I don't want to end this on Logan Paul. Do you want to shout out some of your favorite creators just some of your favorite people that you've come across recently? Yeah.
Well, we can't go without mentioning our favorite, Kunkin Dasner, Duncan.
Yes.
Our fave.
Baby
our
boy, sweet fave. Baby
we
boy.
Love him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sweet baby boy Duncan. He's great. Jarvis Johnson. Mm. He's another goodie.
Another sweet. I wouldn't say baby boy, but a sweet boy. A sweet older boy.
Yeah, maybe not a baby boy, a sweet older boy.
He's not old, he's like 20 something. But no. I just mean, he just doesn't have that baby face that, I mean, he does have a bit of a baby face, but you know what I mean? Like Duncan has like baby. And then Jarvis is like,
yes.
Like baby, but
baby
not little
face
baby.
With a beard.
You get what I mean. Anyway.
Baby with a beard.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, go on.
Those are the faves so far. Obviously, you.
Oh, freaking obviously. Thank you.
And of course, all the friends that I watch, like our favorite white boy, our favorite funny white boys, love them. Mm-hmm. Nick is not green. He's great. Ethan. I slid into Ethan's DMs to collab, so. He hasn't responded yet, everyone. You know what to do.
I love that. That's beautiful. Well, those are some good choices, and I will link them in the description. And Gabby, do you want to tell the people where they can find you?
Yes, I am Gabby Bell. I am youtube.com/GabbyBell.
Mm-hmm. And you spell Gabby G-A-B-I.
G-A-B-I.
With an I, not a Y.
Yes, I wasn't trying to be quirky. Yeah, not trying to be quirky. That's just like how they spell it outside of America, so...
Nice.
That's just the way it is. G-A-B-I-B-E-L-L-E, like Belle from Beauty and the Beast, I think.
Mm.
I'm on Twitter at It's Gabby Bell. Instagram at It's Gabby Bell.
Mm-hmm.
TikTok at It's Gabby Bell. I'm like, where am I on social media?
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Right. Well, go check out Gabby. Make sure to check out her work. It's great. It's a lot of fun. Good commentary stuff, because commentary is not oversaturated. So if you want to be a commentary YouTuber, make videos, do it. That's my advice. Just do it. Right. Just okay. In that case, shall I do my countdown and we do the bye-bye?
Oh, we
bye-bye
have to do
now.
The bye-bye thing.
We've got to do the bye-bye, the yes. Toy Story. Right. So I'll count us down in 5, 4,
okay.
3, 2, 1. Bye-bye. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye.